So technically, it only should take 2.5 hours to
right? But those guys have a bunch of elevation, like 30,000 feet. That's the kicker.
It's like running to the top of Everest.
Past the top of Everest.
What is Everest, 24?
24. I think
you don't know that. You lied.
I think Everest is 26. No. I think Everest is 26.
No, Everest is 26.
26 sounds more right.
No, it's 23, like 495.
How would you know that? Why do you know that?
Because I'm an Everest fanatic.
You are?
I want to climb Mount Everest in my lifetime.
What do you think about climbing Everest? Because right now it's just become like a business venture.
You're right? Insane. I knew that. I knew it was way taller. 29,031.70.
I thought it was over 28.
It was a confidence.
You can't compete with AI.
The first time you said it, you didn't say it with enough confidence. I was like, he's bullshitting. I can tell he's bullshitting.
Can't beat AI. Yeah. Don't you love modern day? Like somebody can say something and you just check it right there in a moment, like in 2 seconds.
You just look at Omar's
face. Back in the day,
face.
You could con anyone.
Yeah, that's how rumors started back in the day. It's like, oh yeah, this.
I saw something where like, when I was little, I'd go with my mom, but like she'd like go like the nail salon, right, and get a pedicure. And you know how like they're talking in their native tongue? Like nowadays, you could go in and like put in like your AirPods and like Google like Translate will just translate what they're saying.
As they speak.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So if you want to know if anyone's talking.
Yeah, you've never seen.
Shite,
there's a funny Instagram. Yeah. You never seen it? It's pretty good. I won't get into it here, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I have funny stories of guys that speak Spanish, you know, and they'll like stop at the local Maverick in the morning to get their coffee or whatever. And they'll like hear,
you know, pop off.
Guys talking shit about them while they're standing there getting their coffee. And then they turn around and start talking to them and they're like, oh.
Oof. Whoops. Yeah, I feel like you can't really do it in Spanish. A lot of people know Spanish is too normal.
Yeah, pretty common. Why do you want to climb Everest? There's like 300 bodies up there, and then I hear there's just like tons of junk. It's like space. There's just stuff sitting all over.
There's a whole
Everest.
Site that's called like the shit mountain or something
right,
like that.
Right,
yeah. It's just covered in
full
shit.
Full of feces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it obviously doesn't decay.
Well, right. I will say, Omar, my dad has always wanted to climb Everest too, so you guys have that in common.
Yeah. It was just like one of those things since I was a kid that I've been wanting to climb Everest.
I do just hate, though, what Trey was saying earlier. It's like just a commercial thing now where it's like anyone who has the money can just go up and do it. You don't have to like really be trained for it. You can just have Sherpas carry all your stuff.
Yeah, no, you hire people to carry it up for you, right?
Oxygen tanks.
Yeah. People do it without any oxygen?
Yeah, there's been people who've done it.
Yeah, it just sounds pretty cool.
And I mean, this is getting stuck up there in the line.
You know that guy Omar? He's climbed Everest. That sounds like cool.
I wonder, what do you think is cooler, climbing Everest or running 100 miles, or harder? Harder, more like. Let's go harder.
Harder. I don't know. You guys tell me.
I mean, we haven't done. I haven't
couldn't
done
tell
either.
You.
So, yeah, I've only done one of those things.
I have zero ground. But
in my
to
head,
make an argument.
I would think running 100 miles is harder than climbing Everest.
You think so?
This says, as of December 2024, 7,269 different individuals have reached the summit of Everest. That's not that many, actually.
But I think it's mainly a cost thing.
Yeah,
it's a cost and then just logistics. Yeah,
like
permitting for so long. And
permitting and weather window.
Yeah.
This says, while there's been over 12,000 summits, only 7,269 different individuals have reached the top.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's really not that much.
It's pretty slim. Pretty
it's
small.
Pretty slim.
Yeah, that's crazy. You might be one of them. You want to be one of 8,000. You better get after it.
Better start.
Start fundraising or something.
Well, thanks for jumping on with this. You might be a regular on the old podcast.
We'll see. We'll see if he earns that spot.
He's probably outpaced Porter on like our most frequent guest.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like
how many times?
Porter's been on a decent amount. Like
yeah, but then Porter, we always invite him, and he never comes on.
Never shows.
And then
he never comes on as his real self.
No,
too.
Well, that's for sure. He's always so reserved on the podcast.
That is the funny thing about Porter. Like,
he's so reserved.
I remember
down here.
Back in the day thinking Porter's going to be a great guest because he's such an animated guy. He's like, mm-hmm. You know, really at it all the time. And then you get him on the mic, and he just really
just mellow,
just tempers right out.
Yeah,
he does.
I'm like, where did Porter go?
But then he always talks about how he's never invited. We invite him on all the time. He just says no.
He's at a volleyball tournament.
Soon to be at a volleyball tournament, yes.
He can't come. Omar's fresh off of a 100-mile ultra. And so we thought we would explore your ultra and find out how it went. I'm curious.
Are you?
Yeah.
Every time we talk about this ultra, we always leave out the best fact.
Which is?
I even had to text him.
What is it?
First place.
Oh, yeah, it is first place.
I even text him on the side. I'm like, bro, everyone's asking me how you did, and your post says nothing about first place. Like, it's pretty cool. Why don't you just throw in the first place thing?
Yeah.
I had to text him. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
How many contestants were there? Runners were there?
37, I believe.
Do you know how many finished?
No. I could probably figure it out if you give me a second.
Do you think everybody finished?
No.
Really?
No, there was a lot of DNFs.
Really?
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I feel like
maybe,
if you're going
maybe,
into
maybe,
it.
Maybe.
Like
100 miles is a lot.
And I feel like 37 people, though, going into 100 miles.
Yeah.
You would just kind of, you'd walk it or figure it out or.
Yeah. Did they have like a time that you had to finish under?
37 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's 24 people that finished and 1, 2, 3, like 9 people that DNF'd and 2 people that did not start.
They just they got to the line. They were
just
like,
didn't show up.
Yeah, two people just straight up decided.
They hope they got there and then didn't run. Just got to the line. They were like,
not for me.
Not today.
They're pretty strict though. If you showed up, because the race started at 7, but you had like a 30-minute grace at 7:30. But if you started anywhere after 7:30, you did not start.
Gotcha.
And like there was an issue too. We're trying to clarify with people, like there's a time zone change, like right there. So like you're on Utah time and Nevada time. So like if you set your clocks wrong, he's like, we're warning you all the time how to set your clocks. We had to literally go in and like physically stop force it because that area is actually in Nevada time, even though it's in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it's in Mountain time, even though it's
Mountain time in a lot of it.
So, yeah. So if you messed up and slept through,
so what time were you on? Utah or Nevada?
Utah time.
Yeah.
Even though you're in Nevada a lot.
Yeah.
I only had one question written down right here.
Let's hear it.
Did you shit your pants?
Almost.
That was the second question I asked. It's literally the second.
Really?
Yes. It's the second question.
I'm just kidding.
I have
a bunch of questions, but I did have that one near the very tip top.
Almost. It's
the second question I asked him.
That's a funny story.
All right. Well, do you want to do it now or do you want to get into it later? You want to get into it later?
I mean, I kind of want to know now.
Yeah, okay. Let's go now. I want to hear now.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I woke up and race started at 7 o'clock and had a Starbucks cold brew to, you know, kind of like flush everything out.
Oil the body.
At least I hoped.
Yeah.
And then took a shower and everything. But, you know, nothing wanted to come out of the body. So I was like, uh-oh, like, that's a problem. And then at the start line, like, I always, whenever I race, I always get like these, like, just nervous energy. Like, you probably remember, like, football.
For sure.
You know, guys have their different thing, like, throw up. Or whatever, like, or go to the bathroom a lot. Like, I just have to, like, find a restroom, like, as soon as I start a race, or else, like, I'm in trouble. And I look back, and there's just, like, a giant line for, like, the restroom, like, whatever. Like, it's ultra, like, we got all day. Like, I'll go, like, at the next aid station or something, like, 15 miles in or something. Running, race starts, kind of running, flying. I'm like, oh, no, like, this thing wants to come out right now. So I knew there was a aid station at like mile 3.6 or something.
Did they
like
have
that.
Strict rules like, hey, you can't just like dip off the trail and do your thing?
No, you can, but like that early in a race where like everyone's watching.
The whole pack's there.
So I'm just like, well, I'm just gonna get to
that
aid station.
That would have set a precedence.
Just I know, like, just let this is what we're here for. This is what we're doing.
Like, I'm here. Let's get comfy.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that. So at mile like 3.6. They had a porta potty.
They had an aid station at mile 3.
Yeah, which is weird. They call it like the pussy stop. So
that's where you stopped.
That's why you stopped.
That's why I stopped.
That's why you stopped there.
Yeah,
yeah. And everyone was like laughing at me as I went in and stuff. So it was like it was fitting.
They were.
Yeah.
They were like, well, you guys, this is the last time you'll see me.
Pretty much until mile 96.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to do that. Took care of business and then went back to running. And then I was pretty gravy.
Gotcha.
But the funny thing is that when we decided to drive down that one road to see what you were at, he was still in first place even after.
Yeah, that was funny.
You ran to catch up, or you were that far ahead?
No, I was that far ahead.
What were your splits right away? It was like 7:40.
Like sevens, yeah, 7:40s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
He was coming out cooking.
Yeah.
Nervous energy.
Why?
I always just run. I always like just run super fast in the beginning. I don't know. I can't control it.
There's so much here. I want to go back. Can we go back?
Yeah.
To the very beginning. When did you decide you wanted to run 100 miles, and why?
I've always liked the like.
Be honest.
I've always liked the idea of running 100 miles. Like that idea has floated in my mind ever since like running my first
ultra. Campaigns and David Goggins. That's why.
Yes, 100%.
That's why.
They put the thought in your head?
Yeah, I mean, they put the thought in my head, and then I had to pretty much like convince myself that I could do it with like training and running.
So for when, at what point were you like, yeah, I want to run 100? Like, do you remember?
5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah. Like,
that's a long time.
5 years ago. Like thinking about it, right? Where it's like, oh man, that'd be so cool to do one day. And then I'm like, no, I can never do that. Like that's for mm-hmm. people that are like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I think another thing too is like, I don't want to just run it. Like I want to compete.
You want to win it.
Yeah. I want to like get top spots. So I don't know about when every single time, because I don't know if that's possible, but yeah, I mean, I wanted to compete.
That's funny because I would say 99.99% of the people that sign up for a half marathon or a 5K or 10K or a marathon, like none of them are thinking about winning it.
Yeah.
They're just thinking about like, I just want to finish it.
Yeah. 95% are probably just going to finish, participate.
At least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would think.
Yeah. But are you competitive?
I think the cool thing about running, it's like pretty much like you versus you into like a marathon. Like I know I probably won't ever
win a marathon
just because you're so fast.
Might like the Circleville 4th of July marathon.
Yeah.
I did win one, my first one, but like it was 2,000 feet of gain. Like I don't really consider that as like a real marathon.
Huh. Is that the one I commented on your Instagram?
Yeah.
I was like, you actually did win that marathon. Like he didn't even brag then that he won a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
So
at what point did you sign up for this 100 and how did you pick it?
I wanted to run that race, and then I figured if I'm going to run 100 miles, it's going to be this year because I felt like my fitness was really good in terms of like running fitness. And then I wanted just to do it for something that really stood out, which was, you know, kind of raise money for conservation and, you know, talk to Lane a lot, just like, what do you think about this idea? And like, kind of, this is like what I'm thinking, essentially like pitch my idea to him, and see if like, you know, he thinks like we could back it on Go Hunt side. He's like, yeah, like, seems like a pretty good idea. And then that's kind of where it became like a reality. So I had already like the race picked out and everything, found this race in Wendover. This was probably like 2 months ago. And then kind of just like told him, this is my idea. Like, what do you think? I really want to do this to fundraise money for conservation. If we don't think it's a good idea, like no problems, I'll probably just go run this race and just, you know, run it to run it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be cool to kind of like run it for something that like stands out and means something to me. So yeah, that was kind of like the backstory on that.
Did you know anything about Wendover?
Zero.
Wendover's a great place.
I was texting Brady because Brady was telling me kind of about it. I mean, I learned more from Brady than I did from you about the race. And yeah. I was thinking like, yeah, Wendover's got some, you know, some pine juniper. I know that there's, you know, there's some bighorn sheep in some areas that are close to that, but it's mostly desert. But then when I heard it was like, this is mostly just salt flats.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking, man, that's a terrible... sounds like a terrible first 100 to try to run.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, no scenery, right?
No scenery,
and it's... A lot of it, I would assume, was probably not single track. It was probably, like, Jeep trail or just open open country.
Exactly like that. Like, the whole thing was, like, open country. I think I saw 2 trees.
Awesome.
Remember our first experience when we drove into Wendover and we saw that critter in the hotel?
The critter?
The human critter.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, you asked the dude, he's like, is this guy staying here?
Yeah.
Like once he left, he's like, is this guy staying here? Because the guy was like total sketch. Like,
Wendover.
Yeah, looked like he's just there to creep on people who's coming in to see which rooms he wants to break into.
Yeah.
That's literally what the guy looked like he was doing.
Yeah.
But he was supposedly staying there.
That totally checks out.
When I was in high school, we would play Wendover in baseball. So we'd go to Wendover and play.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember, like, people driving around the field or like people in the outfield with like mirrors, you know, hitting you in the eyes when you were up to bat, you know, with the glare.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Oh yeah. That was a lot of years ago, but I remember.
It's still the same place though. That place hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So you didn't know anything about that, huh? Like as far as like what kind of country you'd be running or anything?
No. Like the first thing I looked at was like, what's the elevation gain? And then what time of year is it?
How much elevation was it?
It was like 5,000 feet. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Was that part of the decision? Were you looking for one that like didn't have a lot of elevation gain?
I mean, it definitely like was like...
More attractive
because it was like my first ultra. Like,
I mean, that's what people look for, downhill marathons, right?
Yeah. So, I mean...
That's me too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, your legs are going to fill it, but at least my lungs will survive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely like part of like the... Like, I was like, oh, like, I more so just wanted to make sure I could get the distance down. Never had, like, run that far. And then after this, now I'm like, all right, well, I could do 100 miles. Like, why not do, like, one that has 24,000 feet again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't scare me anymore like it used to before. So I feel like it's just, like, levels to it, you know?
Omar not scared Lopez.
That goes against the Omar Cito name, though.
Yeah,
he's always scared.
Omar Cito.
But, we were kind of talking about the other day, though, like how the similarities are between, because he said it was an unknown, so I don't know if you can do 100 miles. And I was like, well, it's kind of like when people go out trying to put it back into hunting, when people go out on their first backpack hunt or mm-hmm. backpacking trip, they're like, how do you get comfortable staying multiple nights in the backcountry? Like,
yeah.
You get that, and I get that DM to me all the time. It's just like, it's just reps. It's kind of like this in a way, just do it, be uncomfortable. Try it out, see what your limit is, and then you can know where you can push and extend on.
It's like the old adage, how do you eat an elephant, right?
One bite at a time.
I love this old adage.
Yeah. Yeah, Omar thinks I'm old, because what was the one I said today? And you were like...
Water off a duck's back.
Oh, yeah, water off a duck's back. He's like, never heard that before.
You got to be kidding me. Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean you haven't heard water off a duck's back?
Unbelievable.
No, I've heard it once, but like I told you, it was like then, from an older friend.
Okay.
It was from my dad, buddy's dad.
Unbelievable.
And then I told him my favorite one, which is, man, I'm more nervous than a long-tailed cat on a porch full of rocking chairs. That one's my very favorite.
That one.
Have you guys seen this guy on Instagram? That's all he does is he's like from the South, and he just does his like grandpa's old.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, that guy's hilarious. That guy's so funny.
My dad's dad. He said he passed when I was really young, which sucks because he was so awesome. But that guy was full of all of them.
Yeah.
Raining like a cow pissing on a flat rock. Colder than anyways, yeah. I got a lot of other ones.
Yeah.
A lot of very inappropriate ones he would tell me when I was like 5.
That's funny.
And he was a stud. He had so many good sayings like that.
We'll have to see if we can teach Omar some next week.
Please.
Yeah. How long does it take to prep for a 100 miler?
Did that one in 10 weeks prep. 10 weeks.
That's with a base though, right?
That was so like after my first marathon that I ran this year, which ended on February 28th, that gave me 10 weeks to kind of get ready. And that was with like that base of running a 255 marathon.
Which is fast. I mean, a sub-3 is pretty fast.
Not as fast as True at Haynes.
That's true. That man is a demon.
And he's stronger than you two.
What's his fastest?
And probably better looking.
I do like those conversations I've heard in the office when you guys were chatting about that like the last couple of days ago about like he's faster than you and he's stronger than you.
Yeah,
you guys were literally talking about that on Monday when we walked in.
Yeah, he's faster than me, but he's not stronger than me. He's stronger and faster than Omar.
How many elk has he killed with the bow,
though?
That's a good question.
Has he won a 100 mile race, though?
That's a good question, too.
Dang, Omar's throwing it.
True story.
And has he killed the elk with his bow?
Throwing shade.
Or mule deer.
Throwing shade.
Probably. I don't know. That's a good question, though.
How many miles a week are you running prepped for it? Were you following a plan?
Yeah, I was following a plan. Yeah. So my buddy, I met a guy last year when I ran 50 miles in Bryce Canyon, which is a beautiful race. Nothing like this one.
More beautiful?
Oh, dude, Bryce Canyon, tenfold.
It's like, pretty great, huh?
In terms of beauty, like, Wendover 1, Bryce Canyon, like, 12.
Yeah.
I had met this guy who I met on the race. He was running 50 miles, and then later on that year in August, he was running the Leadville 100, mm-hmm. the famous race. And after he ran that, I had the idea in my head and I was like, oh, like I want to do 100, like, you know, whatever. And he sent me a plan Mm. So I just had that plan probably like last November, December timeframe. And then when it actually came to run the race, I had the plan printed out and everything and kind of like looked at it and looked at all the mileage and stuff.
Is that the same plan you sent me?
Yeah.
That's a sick plan, yeah.
It's by David Roach, who's like one of the guys who's like really good at the 100 mile mm-hmm. distance, like super fast. I think he set the world course record at Leadville 1 year or something.
So how many miles a week?
You kind of like start at like 50s and then work up. You get like a peak week, so you're like 110 miles, and you kind of like come back down. By the end of it, I was like 48. So I don't know, probably roughly like 70 miles a week is what I'd say.
110 in a week though.
Yeah, 110. That was.
It's a lot.
That's a.
Yeah.
That was a week you're running like 10 miles in the morning and 10 yeah. in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Trying to get that in.
How many miles contiguous like was the most that you prep like in prep time?
30.
Was it all 70 days? Or all 7 days, sorry.
6 days.
6 days a week?
Yeah, so Monday was my rest day.
So, yeah, so it's an 18 and a third mile average a day.
18 miles a day average.
Yeah, for 6 straight days.
Yeah.
It's a lot of miles.
It's a lot.
My girlfriend hated me.
Oh, girlfriend.
Oh.
Did we just throw that out there?
Oh, wow. I don't think.
Cat's out the bag.
Oh, wow.
I'm taking ladies.
He did reference his father-in-law to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He said that this weekend, too.
He did. I hope he referenced
that. That one slipped out.
Because get ready.
That one slipped out last week.
That's
I'm like,
right.
Oh, what?
He did, yeah. Father-in-law. Oh, boy.
So anyways.
But like on the prep side, though, is it difficult to prep for a race, a 100-mile race, this early in the year, in a sense? Because like we're just getting out of the dark stage. Of like it's dark at like 5 o'clock for a long time. Like you run in the dark a lot.
Yeah.
In the winter.
Start at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah. It's like, how did you treadmill mile it, or were you still just doing night stuff and then trying to get in the morning?
Sometimes I would do like treadmill stuff. But very, like my thing is I really rarely try to run on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. I would do it sometimes just cause some running's better than no running.
Yeah.
But very rarely do I try to get on the treadmill. And then when it's like dark, we're just running when it's dark. And then my favorite thing is like there's a couple, there's like maybe like a 3 or 4 day stretch where it was like super windy, like wanting to rain, but like super windy, like stormy kind of weather. And I was like, oh man, like I want to be on the treadmill. But like, then I was like, dude, like when I'm running 100 miles, like I'm by mile 60, I want to be done. Like this is like kind of like that mental gain to mm-hmm. kind of give me an edge. So kind of use those days to train.
What gave you the willpower to do it? Like, I'm curious is like to like the will to get out of bed or, you know, go home after work and run miles. Like, did you have days where you're like, I just don't want to do this? And how do you get past it?
I don't know. It's just like putting that goal in my head and then wanting to like deliver.
He has no kids and his girlfriend lives in Florida. That's an easy one.
Yeah. I don't know. I think willpower is interesting.
No, I agree.
Do you think willpower can be like trained? Do you think you can get it? Like,
yeah, you actually can.
It's scientifically proven. That part of your brain grows the more you do it.
Yeah.
Can't remember what that part of the brain is called. But it's proven to grow the more you put yourself in mm-hmm. like situations you don't want to do.
Yeah. Andrew Huberman's been talking about it.
Big time. Yeah. You literally can train it, which is really cool.
I was listening to a podcast the other day with Joel Turner. So he was on Competition Archery Media with PJ. He was talking about shooting a bow and trying to. He basically at one point he said, "If you're in a setting where it's like high intensity, high pressure situation, you know, or you're just shooting on your own, he's like basically your voice has to be the loudest voice in the room. He's like you have to basically be just listening to yourself and you have to be louder than all the other noise that's going on, right? Like all the distraction. And and talking about that, one of the things that he does, he goes later on to talk about like if you struggle with, because internally, like if you're just talking to yourself, like I can still get distracted, right? Like I can do that. I can take it and like I can talk to myself like in my head, like, hey, do this, do that. But one of the tips he does is, or says anyway, I have never tried it, but I think it's interesting, is he was basically saying you have to actually talk to yourself out loud for a time frame. He's like, actually talk to yourself out loud. So like if it, you know, if you're shooting alone, great, do it alone. But like even if you're in a group or crowd, it'll be weird. But you have to like verbally speak to yourself, because when you speak out loud, apparently it trips your brain versus just like thinking internally, right in your head.
I can see that.
Yeah. So one of the things I was thinking is like, I wonder if you could probably do that in all aspects of your life. Cause like, I can think of times when it's like, shit, I don't really want to get out of bed today. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you actually like verbally spoke to yourself, it probably would have some sort of impact in like getting you to do something differently than it would be if you just told yourself in your head, like actually talk to yourself out loud for a time frame. So I'm going to try it. Do you ever talk?
I could see that.
Yeah. Do you ever talk to yourself when you're running?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Out loud?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's already doing it. Yeah.
He's confirmed it. What do you say?
It'll be like a mix of things. Like it'll like on the race, I was like talking to myself, like I'm proud of myself. Like, holy shit, Omar, like I'm so proud of you.
I'm really doing it.
Yeah. Like literally.
Really?
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, there was a time where I remember just like bawling down this like desert. I'm like crying. I'm like, fucking proud of you, buddy. Like, you're killing it.
What mile?
Like 45.
Wow.
Just in the desert. Just everything sucked.
Yeah. That was a shitty point.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, if I did it, it'd be a lot more negative than that. That's what I got to work on first, as far as self-talk goes. And that's a proven fact, too, is, you know, just talk positively to yourself.
Do you think there's a difference between negatives?
Oh, there is.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely on the negative side.
Do you think there's some people that are, like, more negatively driven, like chip on the shoulder type thing versus positive?
100%.
I feel like I am. That's why.
Chip?
I tend to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you create stories in your head, like Jordan talks about? In the day.
I mean, I don't have as much
Last Dance
competitively writing on my day-to-day life as he does, but yes, I mean, for sure. I definitely do that.
I fall more into your camp too.
Yeah.
Yeah. More negative
stuff. Like what gets me out of bed is when I tell myself, don't be a bitch. Like that's my, like going down that path.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell rumors about to you. Like, oh yeah, Cam said this about you, Trail, that you're going to mess up the stock today. You're like, so that way you get more motivated.
That was
I'm going to like add a little bit of like fire.
That wouldn't bother me because I don't care.
No, I'm trying to add a little bit of fire to you so you can perform better.
Yeah, it would be like my own past personal failures are more of a motivation than like somebody. Mm. In fact,
agreed.
I'm like more obstinate. Like if I heard somebody else said something, I would just be like, eh. Nope, no biggie.
Yep.
Like, yeah. I could care less.
Same path for me.
Yeah, even if it was probably the best thing for me, I would probably do the opposite because I'm like a little bit of a contrarian in that regard. But yeah.
I would say I'm very similar there.
Yeah.
Nobody can talk as negatively or like make me more competitive than I can talk negatively to myself. Sure. Like, if somebody says something to me, bro, I've said way worse things to myself.
Me
like,
too. Keep talking. That's how I am. I'm just like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was race day like? What was like getting there? Were you?
Oh, it was 10 minutes. It was.
Did you guys go up the day before?
The day before Thursday, we had to like do packet pickup Thursday evening, so we got there like at 5:30, and then just went straight to packet pickup. Pretty much got our little packet, which was essentially just the bib, and then had like a race meeting with kind of like things to remember to pack, do's, don'ts.
You guys probably had what, a 6-hour drive, 7-hour drive?
Six hour drive.
What's going on in your head during that drive?
Well, I mean, I had all the guys in the truck, so I had really a lot of distractions, which I think was key.
Are you trying to stay busy and like chit chat and talk, or are you getting into your head at all?
No, we were just chilling, talking, like enjoying things. Like Brady was working on some things, I was working on some things. Mm-hmm. Just
Brady's go-to. Brady in the car. He gets more work done than
It's anyway. Really easy, dude. It's crazy.
The guy gets more work done in the car.
Who drove?
My buddy Chris.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Any self-doubt during that? Any intimidation?
I was just pretty confident in the work that I put in, where I was like, and I know like this isn't like a giant race. Like I know the top 100-miler guys aren't like looking at this race like signing up to go run Wendover, so I'm like, oh man, like.
Well, that's what's funny is like most people wouldn't even cross their mind.
Yeah.
Like me, it never would. I mean, I've ran halves and I've ran a bunch, but like I never thought like, oh, I wonder who's gonna be there and win. Like I just wanted to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting that you were actually thinking about, oh, I want to win.
Well, I was looking at like the race participants, like,
which is cool.
And then like, cause it, like on this website called like Run Sign Up, you could see all the race participants, their previous races, and kind of like their rank score. Mm-hmm. So I'm like looking and kind of like squaring myself up to everyone else. I'm like, all right, like this guy might win. Like this guy might win.
Were there other first timers?
Yeah, there was other first timers, but there was like the guy that I was competing in second with. He had run 1500 mile ultras and a handful of other ultras.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Did we actually confirm that he's been to UTMB?
No.
Because we saw his, I don't know if it was his wife, girlfriend, or whatever, but the lady who was helping him.
Yeah. What's UTMB?
UTMB B-shirt. Giant badass ultra overseas.
Yeah, and like Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
Like
gotcha. Yeah.
The one funny thing, though, when we were walking around at pickup, I did ask him, we were looking at the other dudes he's going to be running with. I was like, who do you want me to go trip? Were you saying? I literally kept asking,
sabotaging?
Like, who do you want me to go walk up next to and accidentally bump into? And
were you sizing him up? You were.
Yeah.
Did you find any first timers and kind of like glom onto them?
No.
Like, hey, first time.
I didn't talk to anyone. I had a pickup. Zero. Like I.
The other funny thing.
He was focused. He was there to win.
Yeah, that guy. Well, here is his determination on the winning side. So. The funny part, we did drive on the salt flats for a little bit after the packet pickup. We took the truck and started driving around, got some like shots or whatever.
Did some shots.
Yeah, did some shots. Basically looked like a truck commercial, Chris's truck, but we took the drone out. And then when we came back, he made an effort. We stopped back by the race official people, like, what's the course record? That's literally what Omar said out the window. He's like trying to figure out what the course record was.
What is it?
It's like just under 15 hours.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Smoking.
Smoking fast.
Yeah. So it was fast. But he was like, had it in his head to ask because he kind of probably wanted to try to see if he could break it if it was like 18 or 19.
Yeah. Yeah. In my head, my goal was sub 18. So I missed my goal by an hour and 45 minutes. And that tells you, and I felt like I gave it my absolute all. So
what'd you do the night before? How do you prep for that?
I had all my gear kind
of
like
camp.
No, we had hotels
in Wendover.
Yeah.
Did you play any slots?
No, we're on the Utah side. So we couldn't.
Oh, that's right. Utah's the shitty side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Wendover's a great city, but
I want to mean,
my bad. No offense to anybody from Wendover.
I wanted zero distractions for my team. And for myself, so I chose the Utah side.
Did you get your own room?
I was with my buddy Chris, and then Brady and Joe had their own room.
Gotcha. Did you sleep that night?
Yeah. Slept like a,
really?
Slept like a baby.
Which is crazy, because I told you in the morning, I didn't sleep at all. It was like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
I kept waking up like, did I miss the time? Did I miss the time? Are we going yet? Like, I was jacked.
Yeah. Omar's a sleeper.
Brady, were you nervous for him?
Yeah. I mean, like, I was going to ask him, like, to me, you either gained an edge by doing the conservation project, because like you got to do it for sheep. We kept saying that all the time, like when you're running, like, do it for sheep. But like, because you had a lot to live up for in a sense, like because everyone is donating, and maybe that's in your back of your mind, like I'm going to dominate this race because I'm doing it for sheep, or the opposite side of it, like it could just weigh on you so much that you're like, oh my gosh, am I actually can do this? Because now everyone else is thinking about like, how am I going to do? Blah blah blah. But like,
how much did that play into like your motivation?
Quite a bit. Like my thing that I was like telling myself in my head is like, you have to do good because so many people like donated to you. And like, this is kind of like your way to give him like a thank you back. Mm-hmm. That's what I was telling myself in my head.
Yeah, because I think it would gain you a huge edge.
Yeah. Which in all reality, like I probably could have got last place and finished and people would be like, sweet job. But in my head, I'm like, no, like you owe it to these people to like give your absolute all. Put a good training plan together and then like show up on race day and see what you could do. That's what I was telling myself in my head. And I think it kind of worked out.
Got to have a cause.
I mean, that's the best part of it is we raised enough. Well, yeah. Omar raised enough to build a Guzzler,
which is awesome. Yeah. That's a good point to say. How much?
33,000.
Yeah. How much did you raise?
Yeah. 30. There was actually $1,000 donation that came in
after.
Yeah. After. So like 35,000, 34,000.
34 grand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The goal was 30.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
So we're building a Guzzler.
We're building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When are we building it?
Next year, February, January.
January, February, this next year, we'll all be out on a Guzzler project.
Yeah. And that's what I'm most
excited
for.
I'm the only one that's actually built a Guzzler.
So you'll be telling us what to do.
I'll be the foreman.
I've done the test and release.
Gotcha.
I built some Guzzlers.
Have you? Oh, you have too?
In Nevada.
Gotcha.
Well, then you both will be foreman. Yeah. Telling us what to do.
Yeah. The foreman.
Omar Smiles developed the Guzzler.
There's a lot of this construction and concrete mixing.
Brady and I will be the guys on shovels leaning on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take pictures.
It's going to be the Lopez Cantina. It's the name of the Guzzler.
Gohan Cantina.
Do you know much about it? Provided by Gohan.
Oh, the Guzzler?
Yeah. Do we know much about it? Capacity, anything like that?
Not yet. I talking to Brad Bauman over at Endow, and I pretty much just told him, hey, we got everything done. Like, thank you for the support. Thank you for helping me get this going. When we get back from New Zealand, like, let's sync on details and everything so we get the money over to you guys and then talk about kind of like the next steps. So then we'll kind of get all the next steps to the Guzzler.
We should put some trail cameras out there during the season after we get it built.
Yeah, see what happens.
I think that'd be really cool. To like muddies. See some bighorn sheep that yeah, you actually
sure. We
like,
do know it's in the muddies for yeah. sure. Yeah. Yeah, we know that.
I think for me that would be like the ultimate, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting to actually see some animals using the Guzzler, yeah, see some trail camera photos on
it.
Better
not
it.
Be like, a coyote there.
That would do my heart good.
I mean, coyotes, whatever. Mountain lions, yeah, better lion, not have a mountain lion. Yeah, better not so have much. A lion.
Cal, so what did you eat that night before?
Pizza.
Chicken Alfredo. What, in the office, what's he eat? That's what he ate, right? Yeah, Alfredo.
The pasta.
Isn't that what he ate? Yeah. And it made him sick going
yeah.
into the race?
Yeah, you tried yeah. pre-carb and all that, yeah.
Mike Scott.
So you had pizza?
Yeah, pizza.
It's actually pretty good pizza.
Yeah, it's really good.
Set right with your stomach?
I mean, I think that's probably what made me have to go to the bathroom so early, but...
Look, we're all being honest here. His heritage is Mexican. The guy's got a garbage can. They can eat something. Whatever they want, and they're good. Us white boys, we eat one thing out of the normal, and it's game over.
Did you have a race day outfit picked out? That's a big thing, right? You did?
Yeah.
How'd you choose?
Approach Light.
Approach Light hoodie?
Yeah.
Running shorts? What kind?
Man, this is going to degrade my manhood. Lululemon.
Okay. That's all right. Those are your favorites?
They're not bad. They're fast and free is what they're called.
What are you wearing for socks?
And Gingy toe socks.
Okay. Toe socks?
Yeah.
Do you do anything special with your feet? Lube them up or anything?
Lube them up.
Vaseline?
Squirrel's nut butter.
Nice.
Squirrel's is really good.
Just between the toes?
Yeah, between the toes. Like on the pad a little bit, between the toes, everywhere there. Yeah.
Anywhere else?
Yes. In the rear.
In the rear?
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Have you ever had any chafing issues?
Not like, I've had just like minimal, just like the normal, just a little bit of chafing, but never anything that's like, oh man, like I'm bleeding raw.
Seems nervous right now.
He does.
Did you eat anything the morning of?
Yeah, I ate a bagel with some cream cheese and then I had a coffee. And then like a Go One More, which is like a carb mix drink.
Mm-hmm.
Drink that just to get some liquid carbs or whatever, faster carbs.
Do you have a race plan like planned out? Did you have like an idea of like, okay, I'm going to eat here and stop here and anything like that?
Not really. At every aid station, like I wanted to make sure I was drinking a crap ton of water and electrolytes. So like at each aid station I got to, I wanted to arrive with like my bottles empty. And then...
How much water are you packing?
2 16-milliliter like little flask in my front pockets. And then
so 32 ounces?
32 ounces, yeah.
For how many miles?
It depends on the aid station, but you know, you had that one at 3, which I didn't grab anything. The first
just blew it right through.
Yeah.
Love that.
Literally.
Literally blew it out, blew right through.
Bye.
And then like mile 10 and then mile 15, mile 22, 26. Yeah, so like every couple miles, you'd get an aid station. I'd try to drink as much water as possible because I knew that heat was coming later in the day. And then I had like gels that I wanted to like consume. I want to consume 80 grams of carbs every hour. That kind of like got shot out the window. So I was just like knowing I was behind and just trying to get gels down.
The other difficult part going back is they changed the course on us.
Yeah,
10 hours before we had to go to race. They put that in the rules that they can change the course within 12 hours and a 12-hour notice right before the start of the race. And supposedly there was too much water out on the salt flats, so they had to change it.
Yeah,
which put a kink in my plan because I had worked like 2 hours.
Yeah, shout out to Brady
setting up what you were gonna do.
No, literally. Shout out to Brady. Brady knew more about the race that I was going to run than I even knew.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I geeked out. I've been asking Brady questions all day about this trip I'm about to embark on for 10 days.
Brady, like, this is what about Brady this? Does.
Yeah. He's got all the answers.
Because the reason why I wanted to have it dialed, because I'm like, okay, if I'm helping Omar, I have to know every little detail about it.
Yeah.
And so part I thought was going to be the coolest is like, well, I'm kind of techie. I know how to run maps really well. Like, we both have Garmin and Enduro, two watches. Like, we can have the race course on our watch. So, like, I don't want him to get lost. Like, I do not want him to get off course.
But you had me. You had a disclaimer, though, too.
I did disclaimer, yes. But I was like, I don't want him to get lost at all. I don't want that to be the reason he's not taken first. So, like, I literally, the course was kind, you could kind of download it from their website, but it was in a KML file, and you can't transfer a KML file onto the Garmin watch, and then none of the tracks connected. So what I did is I took that file, put it into a different program on my computer, basically what I would do back in, like, GIS days when I was building maps and tracks and stuff like that in the mountains. But I was able to sync up all the segments of the aid stations into one long continuous track and mark all the aid stations. So it would tell you, all right, you have 2.2 miles left until you get to this aid station. You have to take a right, or it would take you left. It would, like, turn by turn directions mm-hmm. on his watch. And it would show him all the elevation profiles. So you could actually look at how many hills he had coming up, so you could, like, slowly pace himself properly.
Brady did all the work.
Oh, he literally did all the work.
But then, like, I did all this work to convert all these tracks, marked all the aid station properly.
And then they changed it.
Yeah, then they changed it. But even I put, like, all right, this is mile 23.6, this is mile 45 and aid station 1, and I put on their crew or no crew. So he would get, like, an alert, like, if this one we can meet him at or not meet him at, because there's some we can't. And then they changed it on me. So then that night
Brady's
also,
furious.
So I'm furious. Like, I already sent it to him. I already have this file. And I have it private because I'm like, I don't want any of these fuckers to also be able to download my map I just created. Because if I put it on the Garmin app, other people could download it like day of. So I'm like, I'm keeping it private.
Hey, logistics is a good competitive advantage.
Yeah.
Having really. For better sure. logistics yeah. is huge. A way, that's yeah. a huge competitive
so
advantage.
So I kept it private. So I made a file for myself and I gave it to Omar, put it on there. But then they changed it. So I stayed up all night for a while getting the new course built on there. Built it. And then the morning I had it on my watch and my phone. But I'm like, Omar doesn't have it now.
This is hilarious.
So I had to make the fucking thing public, and I'm like, I don't want anyone else to download, but I had to make it public to share it to then give it to Omar. Then I couldn't make it private again, so I'm like, I don't want anyone downloading it, but this is the last thing we have to do. We don't have time to pull up my computer, have them log into the Garmin's website to try to transfer it. So yeah. I did not want other people to download. I'm like, well, what are the odds of people, like, trying to actually find the course track that day,
that
the
morning.
Day of?
Yeah,
but, like, yeah, to rebuild everything again to make sure you had turn by turn.
So did you have turn by turn?
Yeah.
Dude, you,
did it help?
Brady wins. Oh, yeah. Brady wins this whole
thing. The elevation profile.
Brady won the
really
race.
Good.
Pretty much.
Brady won the race.
No. But I did put the disclaimer. I'm like, it's really accurate, but still make sure that, like, the turns are correct.
Which was good because historically, like, even Truett hit me up on Instagram. He sent me a DM and he was like, hey, just be careful because my buddy ran the race last year. The 100-mile race, and he got lost.
We've never seen him since.
Yeah. He's never been back
in the desert.
He was my buddy.
And then the big thing I was worried about, because I actually searched a bunch of Reddit threads too, like searching all about this race, and people were saying, okay, the flags are kind of bad, because some of them were like purple, and then they had a blue flag too last year. Like, they changed them up this year a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if I was running this, I'd be screwed.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell. Yeah.
And then people were saying, too, at night, because you're wearing a headlamp and you're kind of, like, already dazed and confused anyway,
the
colors are kind of hard to see at night with your headlamp. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't want them just to worry about flags on the ground. These are, like, tiny flags, like 3-inch by 3-inch flags.
Yeah.
You would think that they would have it marked better. But
yeah, but that's why them at least having somewhat of a track able to download. But then I was able to connect all the segments and make a true course out of it that I think I was hoping was going to help them a lot.
Yeah.
At least give them confidence. Know you can just run, and then, like, oh, I have this much farther to go, this much elevation gain. Like,
yeah, boom. It was literally like having Siri on my watch, and then my phone would read out like slight right turn at mile. You know,
that's awesome.
So were you listening to anything?
I listened to one podcast, a little bit of like Guns N' Roses radio, and that was pretty much it.
Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah. Enter Sandman. Oh, Enter Sandman before the race.
No, that's good.
That got you going.
Yeah. I was getting hyped up. What's that one college team that walks out to Enter Sandman?
Clemson?
Is it Clemson?
I think it's Clemson.
Yeah.
Every college team?
No, dude, there's like one
famous. It's South Carolina, Clemson. It's one of them.
It's one of them. But you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know exactly.
And
yeah,
I get that idea in my head. Like, I'm walking out and just fans are going crazy. There's no one
LSU, South Carolina, Clemson. It's got to be one of those.
I feel like it's Clemson.
I think it is, too.
Yeah.
Did you have a race pace that you were trying to maintain?
Yeah, 10:40s.
10:40.
Yeah.
So those first mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, you took off at 7-something?
Yeah, that was...
Are you thinking, what weight, what am I doing? It was like your
first 20 you were cooking.
Yeah, my first 20, I was doing really good.
Like,
yeah.
Sub-8s almost the whole way.
Sub-8s through the first 20?
Yeah.
No part of that, you're like, oh, man.
I better cool this down.
I better rein this in a little bit.
Well, there was a guy that I was running with, and I thought in my head he was doing the 100. It comes out like at mile 16 or something. Like me and him are side by side, like chatting a little bit, like being friendly, but like running hard. And it turns out mile 16, I'm like, man, it's gonna be a long day. And he's like, yeah, like I'm glad I'm only doing the 50. And I'm like, oh, like I'm trying to keep up with this guy who's flying, and he's only doing the 50 miler, and my legs are tight. So then after that, I'm like, oh, man, I'm an idiot. I should have probably asked, like, what race are you guys doing right away?
Yeah, you probably should have.
Yeah.
That would have been smart.
So that's kind of why I was flying, is, like, I wanted to keep up with that kid.
At what point was it, like, easy to intermediate to when you're like, oh, shit, what have I done?
Mile 22.
Mile 22, you were like, okay, I'm starting to feel it?
Yeah, because my legs were tight. I had just run a marathon the weekend before. And I was like, oh, man, like, what have you done? Like, you have...
80 more.
Yeah, you've got 80 more miles to go.
78.
Yeah.
I can't do simple, man.
You know the best part about this? He came home and showed me all the data of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And his phone says 99.8.
Oh, my gosh.
So when are you running the 100?
Yeah, that's right. You didn't make it.
No.
Oh, man. So 22, you're starting to think, like, this is hard.
Yeah.
And then what? You just keep pushing through? And then at what point was it like... I guarantee you at some point you had the wheels fall off.
Oh, yeah. Mile 50.
50?
51. Yep.
Halfway,
Brady saw it.
Halfway through?
Yeah.
What did it look like, Brady?
So he got to us first. It was like a big loop. So it was a big like rock pile thing that had run out to.
What, yeah, they call it the island.
Sheep, yeah, the island.
Yeah.
It was like... And I think one of the aid stations out there was Sheep Camp or...
Sheep Camp, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So it was like 20-mile loop in this island, and it was getting hot. Like it was towards I think maybe it was after one, maybe it was noon. I can't remember. No, you actually got to the aid station before noon at 30 miles. So
so started at 7 and you're at 50 by noon?
No, he was at 30. Okay. The aid station starts, okay. And then it makes a loop and comes right back to the same aid station. Because it was a 20-mile loop. But like that was starting to get super hot. And then you came back in and we were looking out and we could start seeing him coming. Like, we think he's walking. And we're like, there's no way he's walking. There's no way Omar would be walking. He'd be like jogging somewhere. Like, no, he looks like he's walking. Mm-hmm. And then he starts jogging again and comes back. And like, and this time he actually wanted to go in the shade. So it's like, hey, he's definitely feeling if he wants to go in the shade, like underneath some canopy things.
Yeah.
Like you sat down and just like, you looked exhausted.
Yeah.
Just like drained. Your whole face was just like sweat. You can see sweat stains just all over his approach light hoodie. Like he looked rough.
Whatever mental toughness I thought I had,
it was gone then.
Gone.
you'd also said, I don't know if you remember, you said like, because you were still in first place.
Yeah.
But you're like, I don't need to get first. You'd said something like that, like you didn't need to actually get first. You just kind of wanted to finish now. Like,
yeah, that's kind of where it starts creeping in. Like, man, I don't need to get first. Like, you know, you start telling yourself these things where it's like, you don't need it. Like, you've done a lot, man. Like, congratulations. Like, you just got to finish now. But...
Mm-hmm.
And then even worse, when I actually met the guy who I was competing with, and he told me he had ran, this was his 15th ultra. Then in my head, like, I'm thinking like, oh, second place to a guy who's ran this many ultras, 100 milers, it doesn't sound too bad. Like, you know, I'm only 28, this is my first one. Then you kind of start telling yourself that, and it's like, oh, you're good, Omar. Like, you know, you've done a lot. Like, you don't have to really keep pushing. Like, just do the bare minimum, try to get second.
Was there ever any thought of like 50s good?
No. Like quitting?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No question, huh?
No.
Just kept going?
Yeah, I was just like tired. Like I remember I told him I'm going to walk from here to the next aid station. And then I like start walking, walk a half mile, start running. I'm like, oh, I actually don't feel a little bit better. Walk a little bit more, run a little bit more, and then just like start running like the whole way back to the aid station. And then I got to, I was like, oh, like, I think I got my wheels back again. Like I sat down again one more time. And that was like the final time I sat down, drank a Coke, some Gatorade, ate some solid food, and then that's when I, like, after mile 60, I pretty much got my legs back.
60?
That's when you were back in it.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah.
Did you expect that? Did you know that? Like, did you talk to anybody that said, hey, you're probably going to have, like, a hard time from, like, 50 to 60, and that you probably get that second wind?
No, but I have heard, like, when you run these ultras, like, your body is, like, your mental and, like, your body is different 30 minutes. Like, it could be different, like, 30 minutes later mm-hmm. than it was 30 minutes before. So I had experienced that for the first time. Like, I actually hit a true wall to, like, where I felt like I really can't do much right now. Overcame that and then was, like, running 9-minute miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You also, like you said, you didn't sit down anymore.
Yeah.
You said at one point, you think, when you left 50 and then you got to, like, I don't know, 54, 55, they had another aid station, you're like, hey, I'm not sitting anymore. And then you, like, started feeling better not sitting down. Like,
yeah.
Sitting down was, like, cramping you up.
How much time you spending in an aid station?
It was pretty quick.
Yeah, I spent the most in the 51 miler one, which was like 8 minutes or something.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, and then the other ones I pretty much only would fill up water, like get a quick bite and head out. Like, and then most of the times, like if I was getting food, I would take the food with me as I and I would walk, so I wouldn't cool down that much because I have a really. I feel like my legs and my muscles like tense up when I start to cool down. That's also why I don't like stopping too much when I'm like on hikes because like my plantar fasciitis and my hamstrings will just kind of tense up. Yeah.
What'd you think? I think it was around like mile 53, 55, somewhere around there when you got passed. What was your thought?
My thought?
Yeah.
I was just kind of watching him, like seeing.
Would you talk to him?
I talked to him, yeah.
Because you've been in first the whole time.
What did you talk about?
He came up to me and he's like, hey, this is your first 100 miler? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, what about you? He's like, oh, it's like my 15th. And it's like, it's my third time running.
That's what I would say if I was that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it was like, it's my third time running this course.
Oh, I'm really?
Like, really? Yeah. And then he's like, I don't know why I always sign up. Like, I, you know, it's not that there's not much to look at, blah, blah, blah. So we kind of joked about that. And then he told me, like, I think when the sun goes down, like, you're going to do really good. And then he kind of, like, took off. And he was like, well, good luck, man. Like, I'll see you around. And then I was like, all right, good luck. And then I kind of just, like, watched, like, what his, like, physical kind of signs told me. He, like, was looking tired, to be honest. Like, you know, kind of, like, running easy. I had, like, got to know his age now. He was 50. I was like, oh, this guy's no spring chicken. But he is like a savvy vet. And then kind of just like played the game where I was like, I'm just gonna stay behind him. Like I feel like I'm being chased, like, you know, being ahead for the last 50 something miles. Like I'm just gonna hang out behind him here and see how I feel, like kind of try to be a shadow for a little bit, stay with him, like save some energy, see what his pace is. And then
how far back?
500 yards, 400 yards.
You were close.
Yeah. Do you ever look back at you?
No.
No.
No, he never did.
Is that a veteran move?
I don't know.
Back, you want to show weakness?
Move. Yeah, that's a bad move.
If you look back, you're like, oh, then you're scared. Then yeah. Who could you fire?
Yeah, what are you running from?
Yeah, you never look back. And then, yeah, and then turned on the jets and started making my move. Yeah, see what I could do. I couldn't hold it anymore. I just wanted to go.
You caught him past him before you got to 60
yeah,
miles.
That's when.
Because that was when I jumped in with you. And then I was looking. I was like, oh, Omar's in front.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was still in second. But then you I don't know when you passed him, but it was somewhere after the aid station before and then the 60 aid station.
What did you guys think in the truck?
We came up behind you and obviously saw you, then saw him out in front. And Chris, instantly, he said, oh, guy in first looks strong.
Really?
He's like, he looks good right now. Like he said, he looks strong and he's going to keep going that pace. And we were kind of like, Omar's right behind him though. He's keeping up with him. So like maybe that's his strategy right now. He's just going to do his thing. And you just had said earlier too, like that was a super hot section again.
Yeah.
So I think that also was crushing you. Like it was really, really hot in that once you left 50 to like mile 68 station. So maybe we were just like slowing down and pacing or I thought it could have been maybe because of the food, because this was the first time you had a bunch of solid food at 50. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was, but like the dude looked like he was running pretty good.
Yeah. He's a good runner.
Mm-hmm. Were you looking forward to having pacers?
Oh yeah.
Like how many miles out were you like, oh, if I can just get like this blank more, I can get a buddy.
I think it was perfect. Like at 60, I think the strategy worked out perfect. Like Brady was going to pace me from 60 to 80. Then Chris would hop on from 80 to 96. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, the original strategy was I roll in with zero, with no pacers the last 4 miles or whatever, but that switched. But I think it worked out perfectly. Like when I got to 60, I was feeling strong. And then I just had Brady to hop in with me. And then like we kind of like chatted for a little bit and, you know, put our heads down and just started working.
Yeah, what I really liked too is once we got to that aid station with those guys from the Navy.
Yeah.
Those, all those kids that are going to be in the Navy. Like they're super cool. And I was like, that's kind of badass to see all these dudes are out here. They just kind of jumped in.
Yep.
And then we had that big hill.
Yeah, giant hill.
And we maybe started slowing down once or twice, but we ran the whole hill.
Yeah,
that was a big hill.
Yeah,
I felt like we were like I never saw a second. Even when we got to the aid, I looked back, like he wasn't anywhere.
No, after that hill was kind of where we started kind of like dusting him.
Mm-hmm. Started putting on the jets for sure.
Yeah,
and you were looking good and you're feeling good. And we were chatting, and you even had that joke about like you were at like a 5-something marathon pace right here going up the hill, and I was like, yeah. Don't look like it, but whatever you need to tell yourself in the head, you're going fast.
Yeah. I think that was a big part in the race too, where we ran that whole uphill section, like stopped like a little bit, but like mm-hmm. just to like power walk and then would run it.
Just having a buddy.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. Something like it, like your head off of things and just, you know, and then Brady's legs were fresh. I could keep up with him. And
were you pissed at him because his legs were so fresh?
No.
I would have been. I'd be like, dang it. Look, he's just been sitting around the truck. You probably just did a full burger.
I was excited. I was like, man, you guys have been sitting all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, looking forward to it so much.
Yeah.
I was just jacked.
Were you excited?
Oh, yeah. I was really excited.
You were looking forward to it all day? Mm-hmm.
All day.
What was it like for you? How many miles did you run?
In total, I did 24. But 20 in that first one. And then, mm-hmm. like you said, he was going to do the last 4 miles by himself. But
and that was the furthest you'd ever run in one time.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel?
Really good. I got a little tight on my calf muscles, but I don't know if that was just because of the uphill we pushed it the whole time and never nearly took any breaks. But yeah, I fully enjoyed every second of it. It was so fun. I just kept trying to tell Omar, like, well, let me know what pace you want me to set, and I'm going to set it, and I'll keep
it. I got it calculated in my watch.
I was looking at my watch.
Hey, that last mile, we were 4 seconds short. We need to pick it up.
I mean, I wanted to use data, and I, you know.
That is a pretty cool thing about, like you in particular, like your personality, like you're very into like the data,
mm-hmm.
which has like kind of like bled off into me. So like when I'm like looking at my watch, like I'm trying to like look at all the data too now, like because the watch will tell you like where you're at on this climb and like how much more you have to go, so you can actually really use it to your advantage to, you mm-hmm. know, climb and like not be so blind. So that's what was cool with running with you. And then when I picked up Chris, the guy has an Apple Watch, and I'm like, come on, man, like I wish you had like all this data on your phone to like kind of help me up on this mountain, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, that was a blast being able to pace with them.
So how many hours did it take you? What was your finishing time?
19 hours, 45 minutes.
19:45.
Yeah.
Was it pretty euphoric?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I was just like that feeling like, oh man, like it hurts, but I like, this is what I wanted. And then like, no one could take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I laid down and I kind of wanted just like.
Did you get a third win when you could see the finish line?
I thought I did, but I no. It was really? Like such like a mind game. No.
What time did you finish? Do you remember time of day?
It was like 2:45.
2:45. Yeah.
Something like that in the morning. 2:30. 2:45. Yeah.
That's kind of nice. You got a big chunk of time to run at night.
Yeah.
I think night running's probably a lot easier.
It was cooler, but it like, you know, after all that running, like your legs are just. Personally, my legs were
smoked,
done. Like it was hard for me to like to imagine in my head, like you're telling me you've like you're on a flat section and you can't run at least like a 9-minute mile. Like in my head, I probably would have told you that before. I was like, no, there's no way. Like I could do that. But when you're actually there and you're mile 96 in and you have, you know, 4 more miles to go and you're running a 14-minute mile. Then it makes it pretty real about just like how much effort goes into this.
Well, then we joked too when we were running the night section. We got to like mile 75 and we were like, oh, Cocodona 250s in a couple days. And if we were racing Cocodona right now, you'd only be 75 miles in of a 250 mile race.
Yeah.
Like, trying to put that in your head, like how much, how.
Only halfway?
Yeah.
Or no, across.
Not even. Less.
Like a third.
Yeah. Yeah. Only a third of the way.
Like, that's a crazy thought we had in our heads. It's like, it'd be pretty easy then.
I don't know how you, I don't know how you get over those. Like, I don't, I think it's one of those things. I think you, it's like you wanted to do a 50. You did a 50 a year ago, right?
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, I really want to do the 100, and I do 100. And I bet if I asked you now, you would say that your ceiling is higher. Like, you would think, oh, I did 100. I know what 100 feels like. Like, I know I can do it. I know what it feels like. I know what to expect. So like, your ceiling raises, right? Yeah. So like, I've ran a bunch of halves, but like, the most I've ever ran at one time was like 18 miles. That was like part of a relay. Mm-hmm. And I had the same thoughts. I remember thinking, shit, if I was running a marathon, that'd be another,
yeah,
you know, that's a bunch more miles, another 8 miles. Right. And, you just think, glad, man, there's no way I could do that. It's interesting, and I haven't cracked the code, obviously. Maybe you could tell me how, but like, how do you talk yourself into that? You're like, I can do this. There's a lot of self-talk.
Yeah.
And then a lot of prep, I guess, I assume, probably helps.
Yeah. I think just like, if you could get your mind around like the prep that it takes, I think that it's pretty easy to convince yourself into what to do, mm-hmm, and how to do it.
I think everybody kind of has this thing. I mean, it could be running, it could be killing an elk, right? Like, yeah. I talk to people all the time. They're like, yeah, this is my fifth year. This is my 10th year, whatever. Like, I haven't ever killed a bull. Right. And they'll be like, how do you do it? How do you crack the code? And you try to like, give them like, you know, tips and tricks and tactics, like, you know, maybe call here, maybe this time of the day is the best or whatever it might be. But like, you can't really, until you've done it, it's really hard for somebody else to like tell you how to do it.
Exactly.
But then once you do it, it's like, right now, I don't ever feel like I'm not going to kill an elk. I always feel like I'm going to kill an elk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, if I'm going elk hunting and I got 10 days, I'm going to kill one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just know I'm going to kill one. But then to a lot of people, it just seems like this, it's like rocket science. Like, I just can't figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know how you, I guess you got to clear the hurdle. And then I think it just builds upon itself. And I think, I mean, we've talked a little bit about confidence, but I think that's how confidence works, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be confident to do it, but you, the more you do it, the more confidence you gain. It just like rolls downhill from that point on, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what I like about ultra running too, is like, it's so, I feel like it goes hand in hand with hunting, like not only on like, just like stepping up and like the different races that you get to do, but also just like the preparation that you put behind it and getting ready to like go on like such like a big endeavor, like a 10-day backpack elk hunt or, you know, 100-mile race. And I feel like it goes kind of like hand in hand for what I love to do.
Dude, we're gonna do a real world experiment here next week. So Brady and I talked last week on the podcast. We kind of laid out what you think is the most important in terms of like getting it done in the mountains.
Yeah.
And hunting. Is it physical fitness? Is it, what were other ones we had lined out?
Mental side.
Mental toughness. Is it
shooting?
Weapon proficiency. Is it skills like e-scouting and stalking and glassing and those kinds of things? Because I think we have like the whole gamut in camp. You'll have me, which is like the lower end of the physical fitness spectrum. I probably have a little bit of animal intuition. I'm probably more proficient with my weapon at this day than you are.
He couldn't pull his bow back. Yeah. Talk about the toll it takes on you. He literally can't pull his bow back.
Edit this out, please.
He had to buy lower mods because he couldn't pull the bow back.
So we're gonna figure it out what it is that actually works out the best. But
yeah,
I agree with you. I think anything that you can do to like help your ceiling, you know, bump it up, and those types of things that matter most, whether it's hunting or running or whatever it might be. I think anytime you can bump that ceiling up, it just rolls.
Here's what I love about hunting though, is what you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have all of it.
Yeah,
you have to be a jack of all trades, mm-hmm, with hunting. You have to be.
Yeah, you can't just be one thing and do it really well.
No, you've got to be above average in every single one of those categories. Mm-hmm.
Part-time like biologist.
You're a part-time biologist, part-time marksman, part-time
Your mechanic,
part-time gym rat, part-time. Mm-hmm. You have to be chef. All of it. Chef, all of it.
Part-time plumber sometimes.
I don't know where you're going with that.
That's what I love about hunting. It's like to get it done consistently, you have to be above average in every single one of the categories.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's what's fun about it.
Yeah. How have you felt since? Like, what's your condition? So, dude. Lorenzo just called you out. He said you couldn't pull your bow back.
Yeah.
When you got... no shame. It's okay.
I've ran like a marathon and I've ran like a 50 mile race and like I feel like nothing's really impacted my like strength, but running 100 miles will definitely like impact your strength. And I was shooting my bow at 75 pounds with you, mm-hmm. I think Wednesday, the day before we left, like, you know, mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, I was fine. And then I get back on Sunday and I'm like, oh, I need to get like my bow kind of like dialed and I want to get some reps and I couldn't pull it back. And I was like, oh man, like it might be just because I'm fresh off. Go back again Monday and, you know, couldn't pull it back again. I'm like, I'm just going to like do the smart thing here, get 70 pound mods and then, you know, pull that back and then just barely did it. So we'll get it dialed in.
But the timing of all of this barely. Is really interesting because like goes from the 100 mile and.
Well, he ran a marathon. And then 100 miles the next weekend.
Weekend, yep.
And then now we're leaving.
5 days later, he's leaving to go on a dream hunt of a lifetime in a gnarly place.
Mm-hmm. You guys forgot the one where I ran 28 miles on my birthday.
Mm. Yeah, you did do that.
Right. Yeah. How are the legs? How's the feet?
I feel like I could run 100 miles right now.
Any wear and tear? Blistering issues?
No, my knee kind of hurt. My just legs are tight, but I think just some general wear and tear. But after the race, like on Sunday when I woke up in the hotel, when I got back home, we had already made it back. I was like, oh no, like, did I just like take a bigger bite at life right now that I could chew? Cause I like just ran 100 miles and then like we're leaving to New Zealand tomorrow. But thankfully I've been stretching, been using the Theragun, got my legs loose. And before this podcast, I actually ran from the bathroom here. So
hey, there you go.
There we go.
So yeah, we're back.
One thing I thought was, because we're talking about how you're recovering, even though like Garmin, all the data might not be exactly accurate, but I was like, hey, let me see your watch data after mm-hmm. your race. It said that he burned or
yeah, how many calories?
Lost 17. Well, let me make sure I get this right. Yeah, 17,800 milliliters of sweat loss, which is almost 18 Nalgene bottles of sweat.
Yeah, I believe it. In 19 hours
and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And 100 miles.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a crazy thought. Like how many, like half this table right now, in this little corner over here would be your sweat that you lost.
For the cantina.
How many calories you burn? Do you know?
Oh, it was like 10,000.
10,000?
Yeah.
I bet it was more though. Yeah, I would have thought the calorie calculators are never correct.
Yeah, the calorie thing is off to you and then you're carrying water.
If you want your calories to be right, you would need to go do an RMR test and
all kinds of tests
to be able to plug that in.
No. I don't have a scale up there.
This is a question I think I have, and hopefully it's okay to ask. I think probably a lot of people have it, but how many, if you run 100 miles, how many actual miles of 100 do you think you ran versus walked?
I mean, I ran there's no one point where I walked a whole mile. There's parts of the race where I maybe walked, you know, some of the mile, like if you're going uphill, but there was, in that race, there was never a part where I walked a whole single mile. Yeah.
So like less than four?
Yeah. Less five? Than four. Huh. Maybe lower than that.
Yo, what was your highest split? It was like 13 minutes per mile.
Yeah. I can see if I can.
Dang.
Like, yeah. So like that's faster than walking.
Yeah.
Walking's so like six. You can walk in 16 minutes.
Like 7:40 to like 13, huh? Kind of that window.
Yeah. I mean, my average pace was 11:52 and I never stopped to watch.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you didn't stop it at aid stations or anything. So.
Well,
yeah.
Man, that's crazy. That's impressive.
I want to be a minute and 10 seconds faster than that.
Did you win a cash prize?
I think I got a free pair of shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And did you get a medal or belt buckle? What did they
get? A buckle, yeah.
It's got a sheep on it?
No.
Dang it. We should get Omar a buckle, huh?
Yeah. Would have been way cooler with a sheep on it.
Yeah. A sheep buckle?
That'd be cool. I was joking with my girlfriend. I was like, Yeah, like when I take you out on a day, I'm gonna be wearing my buckle and
your fiance.
My shirt tucked in. She's like,
the funny thing is too though, you were supposed to get another medal, like the hanger on your neck medal.
Oh yeah.
And then you ask the guy and he's like, I don't know which one you actually get. And you're like, can you just mail it to me? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, peace, because I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't want to wait to figure out all those other medals he got.
I got a couple more questions. Give me like an emotional mind state roller coaster from 1 to 100.
One, you feel pretty good. Like, that's why I was, you're
excited.
Yeah. Your body's fresh. Like, this is what you've been working towards. This is like my pinnacle of the year. So 1 through 22, I would say that's kind of how I felt. 22 through 31, I was like, man, I started off too fast, but I'm still fine. Like, you know, it's getting a little hot. Just keep rolling with the punches. 31 through 50 was kind of more of that roller coaster where I started off feeling kind of crappy, like it's getting hot, walk a little bit, and then do a climb.
But how are you emotionally? Are you ever like a wreck?
No.
Never.
No.
Other than the one time you cried.
But that the crying kind of came from
happy tears.
Yeah, happy tears. Just like it's like getting that random wave of excitement. Like, I've never had kids or I've never had that, but that's kind of how I imagine what that emotion was just like, I'm overwhelmed by so much joy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened like at mile 45, and then
that's cool.
Yeah. It happened again at mile like 90. When I was like running down the hill, and then I was with Chris, and you know, I was just like saying Goggins stuff. You got to, right? Who's gonna carry the boats and the logs and, you know, stuff like that? And just, you kind of like, let's effing go, Omar. Like, just kind of talking to myself. Yeah. And then he was like, yeah, let's go, Omar. But yeah, I think he's surprised at how much energy I had going down.
Sure.
So. But it was always positive. It was always good. I never had any physical pains that I felt like limited me from anything. Like, it was just kind of like one step at a time. That's kind of what I told myself. Yeah. Like that cliche, right?
I will say that I could see obviously every aid station because I couldn't be at all of them. But like the ones I was at and then running with him, he was happy the whole time.
Yeah.
And he was very cheerful at the aid stations. He was super nice to all the people working. Every time he would leave, you would tell them, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all the help. Like, you were cheery and happy.
Yeah.
And never down.
I think doing stuff like that does that to you. Like, it turns over something in you. It just makes you kinder. It makes you a kinder, better person. So the most running I've ever done is like these 200 mile relays, like a group of six guys, right? Yeah. And the most I ever ended up was like 40 miles in 24 hours between legs.
Yeah.
And I remember the one time, I remember talking to my mom and dad on the way home from one of them. It was, we ran from Logan, Utah to Jackson Hole. And I wasn't supposed to run the last leg. I don't think somebody bonked out. So I ended up running like the last 5 miles. I ended up running that out. And I think it put me like right at 40. And I remember talking to my mom and dad on the drive home, and they were like, how do you feel? How are you doing? Or blah, blah, blah. But like every one of those I've ever done. And I remember specifically that. And I remember telling my mom and dad, like, I've never felt like more just good. Like, I just feel... like, I feel good. I feel down to earth. I feel grounded. I feel more kind. I feel happier. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but like doing something like that, it has this like emotional impact on you. And it like, it goes out into everything. It doesn't last forever, but I can definitely tell you that like I relate in that I felt that. Like, it just makes you feel grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't really get that anywhere else. I mean, I've had it when I've been hunting.
I've had it from hunting for sure. On those just insane grinds where somehow it ends up in your favor.
Yeah, it works out.
And you're driving home and you're just like so grateful for every aspect of your life.
Almost every hunt that I've done out of state, it's been like a real grind like that. Like, the drive home is one of my very favorite parts of it. It's because you get this time to like reflect and you just like sit in it and you feel so good. Mm-hmm. You feel like grateful.
About things you haven't even thought of in your life though too. You're like starting to, you start thinking about being grateful for things you haven't even taken into consideration.
Yeah,
for,
forever.
For
it
years.
It just makes you mindful of everything, right? Yeah. Like you stop at a gas station and there's a line and you're just like, oh man, it's great. Right. You know, this you just feel good. I don't
These
know.
These people are here too. They're sitting in a line. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I killed a bull one time in New Mexico. Same thing. Backpack hunt, 10 days, shot this bull. It died. And that's like one of the only times in my life where I just like sat down and bawled. Like I was just so relieved and happy and grateful and like this is like physical emotional dump.
Yeah.
And I think you only get that through doing some stuff like this, which is super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like at every aid station I made sure I was like, hey, thank you. Like when I got there, thanks for being here. And then like again when I left, like thank you so much, appreciate it, thanks for taking the time. And then I would always make sure with these guys, like I remember always asking them, like, how are you guys doing? Like, you guys good? And like, yeah, good. Because I want to just kind of like, even though like in my head I'm going through something like where I might not feel like as good, like I want to give out the impression that I'm actually having like a really good time, where like physically like I'm not really having
a good
time.
No, but I think it was probably genuine, right? Whereas like your day to day, I think about that a lot. It's like I'm not that guy every day. I haven't been that guy a lot. Do you know what I mean?
99% of the time. 99.9%
of the time, I'm not that guy probably. But like, yeah, it does something to you.
Yeah.
Which is one, and I'd messaged Brady. And I told him, I can't remember what I told you, but it's something to the effect of like, yeah, remind him of like, and that's the reward in doing something like that, in my opinion, at least it has been in my life. It's like, that's the reward. Mm-hmm. The reward is just this like, oh, I probably dropped some F-bombs to Brady, but.
I'm looking it up right now. I can keep going. I'll find it.
Yeah.
In a second. It was pretty good.
But it's cool. Sometimes you need to be reminded of that. I wish you could bottle it up, huh?
Man.
If only. Just
take it in a pill.
World would be a better place, I think, if we could do that.
Yeah. What'd you learn about yourself? Go ahead.
I found it. Got to remind him how euphoric it's going to feel to finish that. Mm-hmm. That kind of shit will change your life.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
It really does change your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It definitely is like very euphoric. And I think that's why people get addicted to this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. First thing I did when I got back, when I woke up the next day, I was already looking at 100-mile races. So.
Yeah. What'd you learn about yourself?
Just that take everything like a digestible, like, you know, take things at like digestible pieces and you'll kind of like end up on the better side of things. So like, I think what that translates to life is like, you know, just take things like one step at a time, you know, whether it's like different things that come up in life. And try to stay as positive as possible and like kind of like, you know, head up moving forward and, you know, you'll just end up on the right side of things, I think is what I learned from that. Yeah. Cause I've always like heard the cliche, right? You always hear the cliche kind of, you know, talked about that and like maybe different aspects or said differently, but I think it relatively is pretty true. Like if you just, you know, take everything at digestible bits and have a good attitude while doing so, like you're going to end up all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be always like true to yourself. Like, you know, don't lie, don't do these like wrong things. And, you know, just overall be like a good person.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a lot of mental clarity, something like that.
Yeah.
It's funny how physical can like, man, it like sweats everything out, but then mentally, it just,
it's like when the Indians would go into the sweat hut for 3 days.
I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
Me and Lorenzo will be in the sweat lodge next time while you guys are out running.
Yeah. Don't you got to take like a drug though before you go into it?
Yeah, peyote.
Duh. Why wouldn't
Duh.
You?
Duh. Duh. That reminds me of my kids. They say that to me all the time.
Yeah.
Duh. Duh. You ready to run 100, Lorenzo?
No. No.
No.
Lorenzo texted me. He was like, you got first place? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how come you don't say it more?
But yeah, I'm like, why is that nowhere? I had people texting. I had a bunch of people. I went to a wedding on Saturday night, which was while you were running, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people were asking me all the time because it's, you know, a lot of same people there that know us. And they're asking me. I'm like, I don't know. And then he finishes and people are texting me like, how do you do? Like, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I heard secondhand that it was first place. I'm like, why have you not? Why? Like, I don't understand why you haven't posted that.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those things that I don't know. I don't know why I didn't really talk about it that much. I wanted it to just kind of be humble. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right word or.
Was it your 50 miler or was it your marathon that you didn't even wait to stick around to get your medal after one of these races last year?
Oh, that was my 60K.
Yeah. See, like he doesn't, I don't know, doesn't really care about it that much. Like you literally left without getting a medal. Like that's what a lot of people go there for is to get a medal.
Yeah.
Participation trophy.
Yeah. You're just like, I raced it. Peace, guys.
I got a pile of them.
Yeah. Now they're like cool.
They're hanging on a hanger in my closet. Yeah. And that's exactly what they are, participation trophies. Yeah. Cause none of them say first or second or third. Or 10th or 50th.
The buckle doesn't even say first, so.
Yeah, no buckle.
That is ridiculous, though, that they wouldn't. There's not something for that.
We'll have to get you a buckle.
There we go.
A big giant one. Sheep on it.
Because I know you got cowboy boots you can wear it with. Big hat.
Yeah.
For sure.
Pointy boots, though. Mm-hmm. He's Mexican. He's got to have those pointy boots.
Hipster boots.
Has to.
That'd be a good look.
I can't. You won't catch me wearing those, Dad.
Yeah.
Come on. You have to.
Well, I feel motivated. I don't know, man. I think it's really cool what you did. I think it's cool that you had a cause too. I think it's neat that, you know, we're going to be able to build a guzzler.
That's what I'm most excited about is to have, you know, all of us that are sitting at this table, plus, you know, other employees, Wild Chief Foundation, Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, hopefully other community members that donated that want to come out and volunteer. That's like generally what I'm super excited for and like what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to hunting season and then building that guzzler and then we'll see what else I'm excited for.
Best name ever, Lopez Cantina.
The Lopez Sheep Cantina.
Yeah, there's nothing better.
You should probably take that and like actually open a real bar and call it the Lopez Sheep Cantina. be pretty epic.
I have seen some comments too out there if we filmed this all, and we did.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep filming it while we're doing the guzzler project as well. So there's going to be a lot of video content coming out from the race and guzzler and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
that was cool. And Joe's a beast too.
Yeah,
Joe is a beast.
Omar and I were commenting while running the whole time. Like when we'd meet him at aid station, he'd be running backwards, like literally running backwards, and then stopping and doing something and running way out in front of us to try to get shots again. Like he's an absolute beast.
Or his little drone would be like hovering above me.
Yeah.
He's like, sup, Joe.
Joe is a beast, though, honestly. The guy's great.
Yeah.
We got lucky on that one.
Mm-hmm. He is good dude.
Yeah.
I was asking him today if he had a nickname. I feel like he needs a nickname.
Copper Kid.
Oh, Copper Kid. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, there you go.
His nickname.
Right on. Or that's not the one he went to.
No, that's his Instagram handle.
Yeah.
Or if you're Spanish speaking, they say they call him El Rojo, right? Or Rojo.
I haven't heard that one yet.
No? Yeah, he told me that. Rojo.
That's a good one.
Red in like Spanish. But.
Well, cool, man. Anything else you want to say about your run?
Do we hit him with the promo?
No, wait, we'll get promo. You want to do promo?
Do it. I don't want to do that. I don't know.
Here's the promo. Omar, hit the promo.
Yeah, here's the promo.
Omar, hit us with the promo.
Dude, I don't know the promo.
Come on, hit us with the promo.
Guys, it's like my fourth.
Give it your best shot.
Use code.
This is the best promo we've ever done. I agree. Keep going.
Shout out to Sig.
Great. Know that.
Use code podcast to sign up for an insider account. Bunch of deadlines coming up yet. Washington, Oregon, Nevada deadlines today. So you
missed that one.
Well, yeah, you missed that one. Wyoming deer, Arizona deer and sheep. We got a bunch of stuff coming out. So get out, do your research, and use promo code podcast.
What does promo code podcast give the listener?
It's going to give them
$50
back when they join Insider. So you can use it for a ton of awesome gear in our gear shop.
Like 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's good. That was good.
Decent.
Did I get the job?
I mean, no.
It was decent.
It was decent.
It's good for on the spot, though.
Still got brain fog from the 100 miles.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I was going to say, sounds like we need to get you like in front of a computer at a trade show doing some demos.
Yeah.
No, I think it's really cool, man. Congrats.
It was awesome.
It was
motivating. Really, that's what I think it is, too.
It was like, really cool.
Everyone else who I saw, I was reading you the comments, motivating for them, motivating for me, like.
Yeah.
It was cool to see.
That was the crazy part that I've never really experienced was like the positive support.
Community.
Yeah, the community kind of like coming back and supporting. Like just a bunch of comments from, you know, people. Like my idol, Cam Haynes, like he commented out like, great job. And I'm like, you know, if I just like step back a little bit and think about when I was in my college apartment doing push-ups, watching Cam's Bull Lifetime video, and then thinking about running, and then, you know, kind of go like fast forward like a year and a half and pick up a bow and then watch like all his content, and then, you know, come around to now where I'm, you know, sort of like living out my dream and getting like running and hunting. And then Cam like commented like, great job. Like, I'm like, man, like, I gotta, is this actually real? Like, do I gotta feel like I gotta pinch myself?
Mm-hmm. And really, but did Goggins comment?
No,
we got to get him to comment.
But when I see him,
yeah,
I would like to see his comment. I hope it's like what I think it would be.
Good job, motherfucker.
Yeah, give me your, what do you think Goggins would comment?
Literally, just that simple.
Good job, motherfucker.
Good job, motherfucker. Now do 200.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the back end of that. Yeah, now two.
Yeah, which I don't know about two, but I want to do 100 again.
Cool. Well, very good. We're all off to New Zealand tomorrow.
Lorenzo's, except me.
Lorenzo's going to hold down the shop.
I need to pack still.
Yeah, a lot going on. What are you doing this week? Anything fun?
Kids.
Sports. Sports.
Playoff baseball. Wrestling. Hockey tonight.
Yeah. Ninja class?
What?
No ninja class?
No ninja class. We're out of that. We're booked up in full-blown sports now. Ninja class is great, though. It actually is a brilliant idea, because when I grew up doing gymnastics just as like an athletic thing, you know what I mean? Learn how to use your body. That's what a lot of parents did back in those days, in Vegas at least. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but gymnastics is like kind of weird now, because it's kind of like a girl thing, right? If we're just being honest. So a lot of boys don't necessarily want to do it. So this ninja class, it's gymnastics class. They just marketed as a ninja class is what it is, and it's all boys, so it was actually really cool. I wish he would still do it, but he wants to play sports more, so what am I gonna do?
Next time Turtle comes in, I'll put a good word in.
Yeah, it was great for athleticism, like phenomenal. He definitely progressed because of that class, no question. So I wish he would still stay in it.
Yeah, gymnastics,
but he'd rather play a sport than do gymnastics, which I can't blame him.
Yeah, sure.
We're 6 days a week, so I need at least one day off. You gotta have one day off. That's all you're saying. Yeah. Am I motivated to run 100? No, I'm motivated to get my kids through.
Yeah,
you know, that's my.
You run 100 every week, chasing your kids around.
Oh, there you go.
They're at least driving them around to sports. Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm motivated to start running again more. Yeah, just to up it. I don't know. I go back into that spot where I'm like, I haven't done that, but like I go in my own little way.
You're in a spot to do that though. Like, yeah. I am not in a spot to take on any selfish accomplishments right now.
Yeah,
it's like I'm the furthest thing away from that.
It's hard when they're young, man.
I'm trying to manage selfish accomplishments right now.
Sure.
Because every time I think about it, and I'm like, I'll save that hunt for later, or this for then, or whatever.
You got a call to action to people that are listening? Anything you think they should do?
Help out in conservation as much as you can.
Yeah.
Like, you know, locally. Like, if it's just volunteering, like, you know, get involved, like, whichever way you can. You know, that's kind of what I want to show to, like, the younger generation of, like, hunters that's out there. It's like, you know, we're going to, like, you know, we're like the next class to bring, you know, hunting and keep growing it. So I think, you know, getting involved in conservation and going out volunteering at the Guzzler projects, or, you know, fence stuff, or, you know, planting bushes, whatever it can be, just get involved and be part of the community.
Did they just do a massive sage project in Utah or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're always doing.
Like a massive one though, right? Like 2 million sage plants or something.
Yeah. They, in fact, yeah, they have these little, my boss, Gary Besant at the division, come up with this little stick. It's called a Schuessler stick. So it's like basically this, I think that's what it's called, but it's a stick essentially, like, you know, you poison gophers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was like, oh, poison gophers. They've got this little seed box at the bottom and you basically hit the thing and it drops seeds. He was like, I wonder if I could use that to plant like bitterbrush. And so they made a bunch of them, and now people are out planting sagebrush and bitterbrush.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think stuff like that, you know, I want to personally, like, get more involved, do more things. I think it's cool to, like, you know, be out in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
I know when we did, like, the catch and release sheep project last year, like, I got to, like, touch a live Desert Bighorn, which is pretty cool. So you get to see some pretty cool stuff too. Mm-hmm. Helicopters are coming close. Dead,
it's pretty just cool kidding. When they're dead.
I'm just kidding.
Hopefully one day for all of us. But
watch my wife draw a sheep tag this year.
I know, man. I got all my apps in, and I'm just like, this is a big month for May. Is a big month for results.
Yeah.
There's Utah will come back, Wyoming, Nevada. Elk will come back, Nevada will come back,
Montana moose, sheep, goat, bison.
Yeah, that one I care less about. But but yeah, there's like three coming back here pretty quick, probably within a week. You'll be home celebrating while we're like out.
We're gonna be inviting people to log in for
as
us.
As I was putting in my app, my Nevada app, I'm like, I didn't have any feeling towards it. I'm just like, oh, whatever. Here we go. When I put my wife's in, I'm like, oh, she's drawn.
You got a vibe.
Like, I just got a vibe. I mean, who knows what that's going to lead up to, but I'm like, watch, she's going to draw the Cali tag because that's what finishes my slam.
Right.
She's going to draw it.
I always get a vibe, but then I don't get the result.
Yeah, like, right. Who knows what it's going to shake out to, but I got a vibe.
I can't put weight into those vibes.
Yeah.
You're just a big vibe guy.
Vibes. Yeah, vibes are everything. Well, thanks for jumping on with us, Omar. Congrats again.
Thanks for having me.
Nice work.
And we'll talk when we get back.
Cool. Can't wait to hear about it.